Welcome to the podcast of tomorrow, a Futurama podcast where today we are discussing season 4, episode 10, A Leela of Her Own. I am Lindsay Wilson, joined by the second worst Blurns ball player of all time, Alex Kuntz. Alex, how's it going?
Lindsay, I thought I told you to trim those sideburns. Different episode.
Different show, even.
Yeah. Very tough stuff with being this episode having to be compared to, what is that episode called?
Homer at the Bat.
Homer at the Bat, of course. I mean, that's like the only thing that was going through my head as I was watching this episode of, oh, this is the Futurama attempt at baseball. And boy, does it not compare to Homer at the Bat.
Yeah, honestly, the one thing that I liked about this more than I thought I would is that I was pretty sure this episode was problematic, but it turns out it's just not very good.
Yeah, I think that there's like some like racist Eastern European stuff with the pizza shop owners. And all of that is like a little bit cringy, not particularly funny. But they move on to baseball fairly quickly. And then, the baseball stuff is like all kind of mid. I will say, like, if we compare it to Dancing Homer, you know, there's like probably other Simpsons baseball episodes that aren't as Homer at the Bat, so it's, you know, it's unfair to compare it to like one of the greatest of all time, but
yes, I believe our second favorite episode.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, I think that's actually maybe a better comparison, Homer at the Dancing Homer, where it's like, oh, he's kind of a novelty act or whatever. I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, but you know, I was excited for the episode. Like, baseball jokes are can be like so niche and so funny, and there's like some good stuff in here. I am curious on Jeremy's take as a big baseball fan, if Jeremy likes this episode or if it just like does not go into the sports and history of baseball enough to be interesting.
Yeah, true. How he feels about Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Alex, how are you? How was your week?
I'm good. Yeah, we missed a week. What did we do? We had a friend in town a while ago.
You saw Dune 2, I think.
I saw Dune 2. Did we talk about Dune 2?
I don't think so. You were about to go see it and you were worried about it being overhyped.
Yeah, I thought I still think that it is slightly overhyped in that people are saying it's like the Empire Strikes Back of our generation, like cultural moment, Lord of the Rings equivalent. I don't think it quite reaches that level. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. I didn't see the first one either. Cam watched it on a plane and really liked it.
Yeah. I saw a good TikTok of the best way to infuriate film bros is to tell them you're watching Dune 2 on your iPhone.
Yes, perfect.
Do you mind? Can I spoil it for you?
Sure. Spoilers for Dune 2.
Spoilers for Dune 2. I guess like vague spoilers, but also not vague spoilers. But yeah, skip ahead 60 seconds. Most incompetent bad guys of all time. In the first Dune movie, they bad guys totally dominate. They kill Oscar Isaac. They like destroy the Atreides house. It's like complete decimation. And in this movie, they just like take loss after loss for like 2.5 hours straight. There's like not even one thing that they do confidently. They seem menacing. They seem very scary and big. And there's like great like gladiator fight scenes of, oh, look how fearsome this guy is. But then once he fights Paul, it's just like instantly losing in all cases. So
wow, when I eventually watch this on my phone, I will be so ready.
Yeah,
how did it compare to the second that Nibbler episode we watched? Second worm one.
Yeah, the second worm episode. Good. I mean, it'll be interesting to go back and watch that episode now that I like know the full plot of the first Dune book. Where I mean, I feel like that Nibbler episode just like hit on the memes of here's a big sandworm, like the spice must flow, that kind of stuff. And didn't really dive into like, oh no, like again, spoilers for 10 seconds, like spoilers. Like Paul's kind of a bad guy. Like the point of Dune is main hero, kind of a bad guy. And then the author had to write the second Dune book to like hammer that home of like all the people that didn't get it of like, oh no, like this dude kind of sucks.
Your discussion of the previous Dune movie led me to get an answer right recently on the
New
York
really?
Times Mini, where the answer was spice.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes.
Lindsay and I are very competitive on the Times Mini leaderboards.
I'd say quite competitive in the sense that you never know. We're always within a couple seconds of each
other.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you done it today? Let's look. Also, rate a $0 patron level. Write in with your New York Times Mini username and I will add you as a friend, and you can see how you do against me. And Lindsay probably won't open herself up to that kind of internet presence, but
yes.
Yeah. Lindsay got me pretty good today. Lindsay did in 23 seconds, I did in 35.
Solid. You beat me yesterday, I think.
Yeah,
yes, by 6 seconds.
Yeah, let's see, what did I struggle with today? Oh, venti. I spelled it with an E, and so then I was very confused with baby goat with being kid.
head.
I had blank E blank, which threw me off.
No good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alex, the latest news from here is that, do you know what a mourning dove is?
Yeah, bird that like delightfully coos in the morning. It's like very nostalgic and reminds you of your childhood.
Yeah, it's like a fancy pigeon. We have a pair of them that have nested seemingly either on our roof directly outside the bedroom or in a tree directly outside the bedroom.
So they
And boy, are
really hit
they
you with
annoying.
that nostalgia very early in the morning.
Yeah, at first I was like, wow, how whimsical and idyllic. And now every morning I'm like, these damn birds.
Wow. Yeah, you should again, I'm gonna request more podcast outros, like the intro to Gunsmoke. Maybe I was gonna request, oh, you should get audio of the birds cooing very loudly and aggressively to end the podcast.
Good
So
idea.
that's ask number one, and ask number two is editing that in with the outro or with the intro of Gunsmoke.
Just combine them somehow. Yeah, I was recording footage of them the other day, so it shouldn't be
Yeah,
that
nice.
hard. Beautiful. Yeah, my sister was like, that's not an appropriate reaction to when you have doves in your house, essentially.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't get it. They are very loud. Anyway, that's fine. All right, let's talk about this episode. A Leela of Her Own. The opening caption is "Scratch here to reveal prize," which, Alex, I believe was what the "no humans were probed" line was replaced with
Oh, okay.
back in the Lucy Liu episode.
Yes, and did we ever, I know that we discussed this at length of how this possibly happened. Did we ever land on why or
I think we
for what
decided that it was
purpose?
just like too scandalous
Yeah.
for TV. And so on my like old DVD versions, it still said the probing thing. And then on your
Yeah.
Disney Plus or Hulu or whatever, it was
Yeah.
like, scratch here to reveal
The
prize.
mouse is not interested in probing.
Yeah, exactly. make that the official Disney caption.
Yeah.
Boop corner, Alex.
Boop, there it is. Yes, I wrote down Billy Goat Referee. It's like a goat, like soccer. Are they called referees in soccer slash football? Soccer referee on the sidelines blowing a whistle and his head is like turning red and
All
he's
right.
getting upset.
This is called The Goal Rush, which is
Ooh.
by Fleischer and Famous Studios, 1946. And I'm sure we have seen it previously.
Yeah.
But
This one's got to be safe. I mean, and very fitting for this episode where it's a sports related one, but I can't imagine
indeed.
anything too crazy going on in the soccer
Yes.
animation.
It is 6.5 minutes long. Otherwise, I would engage with it further. But it does look to be about, sports.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a lengthy song at the end, perhaps a Notre Dame fight song.
So I was just thinking, like, how did all of these exist? Like, what was the distribution model for all of these like 6-minute cartoons? Was it
True.
like
Like, how did you watch
packaged
them?
together in a 30-minute thing that was like broadcast?
Probably not.
Because I was thinking it's like quite impressive that all of these are, intricately hand-drawn animations, presumably with like big song numbers at the end. It's like nobody on TikTok or YouTube is putting in like this amount of effort.
I wonder if they were just like before movies or something. It's
Yeah.
like, how many people had TVs in 1946? Probably not that many.
Right. Yeah. So maybe it was like, oh, you go to the movies and you see
It's like the
a
Pixar
cup.
short, the little
Yeah.
lamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's
Interesting.
get into this episode. We can't delay it any further. Let's see. All right, so we open up, and Alex, I am going to say it before you do. I think we have a bike race situation.
So you think pizza shop is bike race? I think that is pretty fair. They kind of come back towards the end of the episode. And how does this even lead us into baseball? Let me think without looking at my notes.
This is how you
Does
know it's
like,
bike race.
yeah, this is how you know it's bike race when you can't follow the through line of getting from one thing to another. Like, baseball team comes to the pizza place for some reason. No,
No.
no. All right. All right. Yeah. Declared bike race. You're right.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. I declared it bike race closer to the end when they came back, and I was like, oh, right. Like, I completely forgot about this
Yeah.
storyline. And it's such a feeble little way to wrap it up. But the way that it's linked is like, they're so bad at making pizza, and Fry's like, I'll teach you how to be more American. And then
Oh,
eventually
sure.
is like, okay, and here's Blurn's ball. Let's have a game between our two companies.
Yes. I think that's very fair. I, other than the like, yeah, Eastern European immigrant stereotype, in theory, I like this idea of struggling business, pizza place, that kind of stuff. I mean, very Babu Bott, right? I'm sure you're that's like the thing that I was thinking of, Jerry coming down
Like,
to
I'll
help
help you.
Babu. Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. I should also mention, because I meant to say this yesterday at the beginning and I forgot, Last week or the last episode, I bragged about how I almost never forget to put boop corner, like the boop, there it is, drop. And then my transcription software was not working. And so I had to leave it out last week. So in the
Always
very
blame it on the
episode,
transcription software.
where I brag about it, I forget or
Yeah,
it's not in
how
there. So
ironic.
yeah. Anyway. All right. So yeah, we open up and Fry is looking through binoculars to see if the wall of a strip club will fall down again. And they happen to notice that across the street, there is a new pizza parlor opening up.
Yes, I like that. Leela grabs the binoculars and like breaks them in half to use with her one eye. Binoculars very tied to sports for me because my dad would always take binoculars to sports games, which I think is slightly, I mean, I think it's a weird thing to do. I don't think anyone does that, but slightly better to do for baseball because those stadiums are huge and far away. But I always felt very weird to do it in like a basketball arena of
Yes.
like you're already like pretty close.
Yeah, you're gonna have to like swing your whole body back and forth
Yeah.
constantly. Hilarious. Yes, I like the line from Fry where he's like, "This makes me pine for my days as a pizza delivery boy. Here's your pizza," I'd say. "I didn't order any," I'd say, and then I'd be off to my next adventure.
Just describing the
That's right. Yes, that story stunk. So yeah, so they decide they're going to go and greet the new pizza parlor owners who are Signoids, and the professor is immediately very prejudiced against them.
Yes, they're like opening up the pizza shop. I love the like signs that they're putting up on the window saying, "You've tried the rest, now we're open."
It's also called like Family Bros or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're like, "Let's go make those hideous strangers feel welcome." And we start seeing that these people have no idea how humans do things.
Yeah, they're like one touch point is like, oh, we have to have chairs for the humans. Do you think these chairs won't work? And it's chairs where your legs would bend backwards, like
Bend up at the knee.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if anyone complains, I'll bend their legs up for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they all go in, and the toppings offered for the pizza include silt, asbestos, flaming magnesium, stucco, scarab, and guano.
Yep. Is asbestos a big problem up in Canada? I was like,
It was, I think, probably in some places it still is, and we just don't talk about it. But like, there was definitely a thing of like schools having lots of asbestos in them, and like, yeah, not good, very
Yeah,
bad.
I don't think we have asbestos here in Brooklyn because I mean, I guess like there's older buildings elsewhere. Like even I was looking at buildings in Denver, and that stuff was built in like the 1800s, and the building that I'm in is like, 1920. So I don't think it's quite asbestos here, but it definitely is like lead paint and
Lead, paint, and mold.
collapsing. Yeah.
Yeah,
And mold.
I think now that I'm reflecting, I feel like I've looked into this before, and I'm pretty sure Montreal was like a major producer of asbestos,
Oh,
not just in
wow.
Canada. I think
The
they like,
asbestos capital of Canada.
yeah, I think that is right. Let me look it up. Asbestos, Montreal. This is what people are here for, right?
I think we discussed this earlier on the podcast, but I do think about the horrible things that we do that is said to be healthy that in like 20 years will be revealed to be horribly unhealthy. I think the number one concern for me is microwaving a plastic frozen food container for 4 minutes and then the plastic being like a little bit wobbly and it being like, oh, you're fine.
In Montreal at the end of the 90s, 23 factories that manufactured asbestos were identified. Quebec's deadly asbestos legacy. All right, well, anyway, so you get it. Yeah, no, I agree. I think the reheating of the plastic tray, probably not great. Cam talks about sometimes that he had this roommate who would like reheat his Michelinas thing like six times and kept forgetting about it, would be like, ugh, and then would have to go back and do it again.
Yeah, just seeping more and more plastic into the
Not good. Also, the guano thing here, I very strongly associate this with Ace Ventura
Definitely,
when nature calls.
yeah. I haven't seen that movie in a good 20 years. It was on TBS all the time growing up, which I'm guessing is probably a network that Canada does not directly
Think we
have,
have it,
but
but it was definitely on a lot and like it was rented regularly by members of my family. I was a big fan of the second one in particular, which is the guano one.
I do wonder, do you think that the first one or second one is more beloved? I feel like the second one must be popular because they showed it so much, but the first one is also just so iconic that it's hard to
Yeah.
beat.
I mean, I would be interested to know if the second one, like, probably more racial stuff that doesn't hold up. The first one, now very famously extremely transphobic. Second one, though, probably not great, where he's like, "I'm going to Africa and I'm gonna like make fun of people."
Right.
Who can say?
Yes. Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, wow. 21% Rotten Tomatoes for the sequel. and 47% Rotten Tomatoes for the original. So they were off. That's like huge misses by, you know, 1994's film critics.
If you had asked me in the 90s what score it should get, the second one in particular would have been like 10 out of 10. Film. You see when that guy was birthed out of the fake rhino?
I mean, iconic scene.
Yeah. So, oh God. All right. Guano.
Let me just quickly check in on Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber also released 1994, which is an insane year for Jim Carrey of Ace Ventura and Dumb and Dumber in the same year.
Oh,
Dumb and Dumber, can you give me a guess for Rotten Tomatoes?
62.
Okay, pretty close. 68. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like people like that more.
Yeah.
Yeah. More beloved. All right. So, let's see. The crew is eating this horrible pizza. It's like this pulsating gray sludge that gets put in front of them. Like,
yeah, they say it
pizza.
Has four things in it, and I think Leela says it tastes like vomit.
Yeah, and she's like, I actually did mean to offend you. This is awful. And then they're like screaming at each other and crying, and they're very sad because they wanted to raise fat, spoiled Earth kids.
Yeah, I do like this like monologue about wanting to live the Earthian dream of coming to Earth and hanging their laundry on clotheslines between buildings and all that.
Yeah, I wanted to hang many pairs of underwear on the clothesline. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Fry's like, I'll help you and give some advice. He's like, all right, we're only going to use quality ingredients from now on. No more live bees. And I was like, to be honest, this is probably like a real thing that people do.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that this is probably the like cringiest moment of this whole Eastern European stereotype of like when they literally kiss Fry's shoes for helping him. It's like it just goes like a little bit too far in terms of like these people are desperate and subservient to Fry. Yeah, probably the cringiest moment of the episode.
One of my favorite pizzas in Toronto was called the Killer Bee Pizza, and it reminded me very strongly of this, but the only thing about it was that it had like spicy honey on top.
That sounds good.
It was great. Oregano works equally well. I thought this was very insightful from Fry.
Oregano.
Oregano, what the hell? That must be doubles.
Yeah. I say that all the time when I cook because I'm a terrible cook and never know what anything is.
Oregano.
And it is not appreciated. Like me being a bad cook and then also telling Simpsons jokes about how bad of a cook I am is like not.
Yeah, really not landing with your audience. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Fry says the most important thing to have in the pizzeria is a TV so human families can eat but not have to talk to each other.
Yeah, very true. I find myself, I have to like face away from the screens when I'm at, you know, like a sports bar or whatever because my eyes will just like wander. It's like, why am I watching golf? Like, you know.
It's impossible. Like, and they, it's very frustrating because you're so distracted. And like, even if you don't want to be, you're just like,
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy and I actually went to a pizza place several weeks ago now, but there were just TVs everywhere. And I was like, you can't escape it. All right. So the Mets are still terrible, even in the year 3000 and say two or whatever. Yeah. They're watching Blurn's ball. And this is where we finally get into the actual content of the episode where Planet Express is going to play Blurn's ball against the pizzeria team.
Yes, I think one of my complaints of the episode is, it's just like not enough detail on Blurn's ball. I was reading on the Infosphere and they said like, they like intentionally want to make Blurn's ball a very inconsistent and confusing sport, which I think some of those jokes land. I really like the joke at the very end of the game where they hit the like, if you hit this target, you insta win the game, like golden snitch of Blurn's ball. But overall, it's like much more of a focus on Leela just beaning people and nothing else to do with the game. No other baseball jokes, basically.
Yes. I really liked the line from the professor where he's like heckling them and he's being like, show them they stink at a game they've never played before.
Good. Also me when playing board games with people when I introduce them to new games.
Show them they're terrible at this thing they've never done. Yeah. So Leela keeps hitting everyone. I sort of wondered if it comes across to them as if she's like being sort of xenophobic or something.
Interesting.
I don't think the show tries to convey that, but I wondered it a bit where they're like, please don't hurt me.
The crowd. The crowd loves her abusing the aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she just hits everyone in the head. No one's wearing a helmet. It seems like a problem.
I don't think this would. I think part of the reason that this episode is also not great is that this just like does not make a ton of sense. I don't think a pitcher that exclusively beans people would like draw interesting crowds.
A giant crowd. And she just draws a crowd like just to this little game that they're playing. And so the guy who recruited Bender into the Ultimate Robot Fighting League several episodes ago also wants to recruit Leela. Now he's part of the Blurns League or whatever. And he's like, she's a one-eyed bean machine. And yeah, she's going to play for the Mets.
I'm gonna see if ChatGPT can come up with like other things, that other baseball jokes that Leela could do. Because yeah, I've convinced myself that exclusive beaning is not interesting or funny. So we'll see if ChatGPT can pull up anything good as we go through this.
Sounds good. Yeah, she says like the Mets are worse than her, and they're like, yeah, but they don't draw a crowd like you do. And so she's going to be the first woman ever to play at Major League Blurns ball. But more importantly, she's a publicity stunt to bring out the weirdo crowd.
Yes. Can you think of any sports teams that have done this, of just like have gimmicky players, or like, is this a thing sports teams do?
I mean, probably, but I don't know enough about sports to know what their gimmicks are.
Yeah. I guess like, I mean, I'm thinking back, this will probably upset Jeremy or other people that are fans of basketball, especially because I don't really know what I'm talking about. But in like 2010, the New York Knicks had Jeremy Lin, who was this like basketball player that like came out of nowhere and, you know, was not a superstar, but came out of nowhere and had a span of like a month where he was like the best player in the league. I don't really know how it happened. I don't know how he got like all this momentum behind him and he was like putting up these crazy games back to back to back. But that seemed a bit like a novelty act that drew in crowds, which is probably insulting to Jeremy Lin and people that like actually know the story. But it was very much like, nothing's really going on with the Knicks, but we have this one player that like shouldn't actually be that good, but is really blowing up, and it lasted for a month, and then he kind of returned to not being great, I think.
I can't speak to this at all.
Yeah.
Good, good. Yes, Jeremy will have something to say about this.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up Jackie Robinson, because obviously Jackie Anderson will become important here. The way I first learned about Jackie Robinson is because we have this thing called Heritage Minutes, which I've probably mentioned before. There are these like 1 minute commercials on our Canadian Broadcasting Corporation about important things in Canadian history. And I was like, does he have anything to do with Canada? Because there was one about Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So the whole episode, or the whole like 1 minute, is about like the people in Montreal being really pumped about Jackie Robinson and like cheering for him and stuff. And so I was like, did he like play for Montreal, or did the people in Montreal just really like him? And famously, he really likes Montreal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Biggest
so
Justice fan.
Fair. Hold on. Montreal. He was selected for a possible assignment to Brooklyn's farm club, the Montreal Royals. Yeah. So I guess that was exciting.
Wow. Canadian hero.
Yes. Spring training with the Montreal Royals, and that broke the color barrier, I guess.
Would you like to hear some ChatGPT ideas for things that Leela could be doing other than exclusively beating people?
I would, yes.
All right. Some of these are good. Some of these are not so good. The hidden ball twist. In a comedic twist, Leela could master the art of hidden ball trick, where she pretends to throw the ball but keeps it hidden in her glove, leading to playful confusion on the field. That sounds playful.
Okay.
Prank bases. Leela could rig the bases with harmless, funny surprises. Zany pitching styles. Instead of throwing traditional pitches, Leela could invent a series of ridiculous and humorous pitching styles that are more about performance than competition. Think along the lines of twirling, elaborate windups, or even pitching while doing a funny dance.
These are all awful.
Listen, this episode is just that she beans people for like 20 minutes, and that's all that happens. Like, just
true.
Give me anything else.
But this way we get some gentle comedy from Leela's bean counters.
It's true.
Oh, God. All right. Well, let's get back to this. Leela gets her uniform, and she's like 7/8 because all the whole numbers have been retired.
Yeah. One of my favorite notes on the wiki on Infosphere was that actually this could not be possible because whole numbers are infinite, but perhaps that they are constraining themselves to the whole numbers between 0 and 99.
The goofs on the Infosphere are always insufferable.
That one's true. Really good. I love the Infosphere goofs.
Just like keep adding zeros at the end.
Yeah.
Oh man. So they're gonna put out their new novelty act at the Mets game because they're losing miserably, and they're like, we already put out the clown. Like, clowns are only funny when they don't bunt.
I do love the clown on the team. He comes back and pies someone, pies the first baseman instead of throwing the ball to get someone out. So
yes,
good clown
funny
on the team.
Yes, and everyone's leaving, and so they're like, send out Leela, and then they're like, now I'm pitching for the Mets, Taronga Leela, a one-eyed woman, because no one turns around until they say
like complete, just like freak show energy of wanting to see the one-eyed woman. I like that they're playing the Swedish Meatballs. It's like a global baseball league, I guess.
Yes, I think later there's something similar, a similar joke, but yes. So yeah, so she's terrible. She starts beating people, an inauspicious start for the first woman blurns baller, and then they say
Yes.
an inauspicious continuation for the career of the first woman blurns baller.
Yeah, I wrote down that one as well. I like that.
Yeah, that's a three bean ball salad.
Yes, and the crowd is very into it. They're all chanting Bean.
Yes. Yeah, and it turns out that Bender is now her agent. He's going to start getting her some deals, mostly promoting beans.
Everyone walking around naked in the locker room, but it's revealed that there is a black bar generator generating the sensor bars across them.
Yes. Leela is a terrible actor in all of these ad spots for beans, where she's just like, they're the beaniest.
I know good beans when I see them. Bean Bay Beans, they are the beaniest.
Yes, and eventually it gets to the point where they're just like ambulances driving around the bases with the players that she's hitting.
Yeah, she does more ads, but in Spanish this time.
Yes.
Kind of reminded me of the Linda Ronstadt Mr. Plow commercial.
Right. Senior Plow.
Yeah.
Yep. I forgot that was Linda Ronstadt.
I
That's
have no
funny.
idea who she is. The only time I have ever heard that person reference is that episode.
That's so funny that you remember it then.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, so Leela's bringing in customers who want her autograph. There's one kid who's like, "When I grow up, I want to injure men by throwing stuff at them, just like you."
Yeah, nice that she's doing this signing at the pizza shop again, trying to fight the bike race allegations, but
Yes.
still not really landing it.
Yeah, not really doing it. Leela mentions that she's not doing this for the wad of cash. She's doing it to be a role model. And then that's when we meet Jackie Anderson, who is an actual Blurns ball player at NNYU. And she thought she was going to go pro and be the first woman. And Leela is making it into a big joke.
Yes, I do like all of the New York like updated logos. Like I like NNYU and the new New York Mets logo is like the classic Mets logo but with another N. And yeah, it's all that stuff is very nice attention to detail.
Yes. And Leela is making it impossible for real players to be taken seriously, and she's very sad, and she vows to become the best player ever.
Yes, wants to earn the respect of girls and women everywhere.
And Hermes is like, yeah, I'm looking at your stats, and it is already statistically impossible for you to become the best ever. In fact, you will certainly become the worst ever. And so her new goal is just to be slightly better than
Yeah, that's our goal for the podcast. Better than the worst ever.
that. Yeah, I
I
think we've probably achieved
think
that.
so. Just on consistency alone, again.
Consistency and having a microphone.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Although mine is dented, so
That's okay. You
this
sound
has been
fine.
chronicled. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're gonna go off to the Blurns Ball Hall of Fame. It's really hard for me not to say baseball every time.
Yeah.
But yeah. So they encounter the worst player in history, and they're like, "Oh, look at this crummy hologram." And it's just a
It's
guy
like
sitting there, and
Pope-sim.
he's like, "I'm not a hologram, but I am crummy."
Yeah, I like that there's like a diorama or a what is the word for this? A
Display.
display of the players that broke various color barriers and it's like a bunch of different aliens. I thought that was good.
Yes, there's also a display just for Mark McGuire's bicep.
Yes.
It's
Very
huge.
good. This must have been like the height of Mark McGuire
The height of his
mania of
powers.
steroids and that home run race.
Mark McGuire, height of his powers.
1998 was the baseball's magical home run summer of 1998. The neck and neck race between Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa was electric. I actually remember this, which is like kind of shocking. I'm pretty young. I'm 7 years old in 1998. I'm
Wow.
surprised that I remember that with so much detail. I really thought that was 2002.
When I typed in Mark McGuire, height of his powers, it says people also ask, how big were Mark McGuire's arms? And then the answer goes to a New York Times article with the headline, Baseball, McGuire wears his heart on 19-inch biceps.
Wow. Really, he's the one that distracts everyone by just hitting dingers, right?
Yes, it said he believed that his peaceful upbringing was as commonplace as his 400-foot moonshots. Okay, he was also 6'5", very tall.
Damn.
All right. So anyway, the point is, this is Hank Aaron, the 24th, and he is terrible.
Yes, and I have like a conversation with real Hank Aaron there as well, who's, actually in the Hall of Fame, but very disappointed by Hank Aaron the 24th.
Yes, the fry is gonna say, like, I heard the original Hank Aaron was great. How could you play so blowfully?
Yeah. I like that Hank Aaron the 24th drinks out of Wade Boggs's head's like
Jar.
jar. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he doesn't want Leela to take over his spot as the worst player ever, because this is like a sweet gig where he gets to just sit in the Hall of Fame and drink out of Wade Boggs's jar.
What ends up happening to Wade Boggs in Homer at the Bat?
Let's see, Wade Boggs.
He is the one that gets knocked out by Barney for arguing about Pitt the Elder and Lord Palmerston.
There you go. Well, Wade Boggs lay unconscious on the barroom tile. There we
Exactly.
go. Okay, beautiful. Talking soft. All right. Oh, Hank Aaron, not in that episode.
Yeah, true.
All right. Just how blowful were you? He went his whole career without a hit. Leela went her career with no outs. And so he's going to help Leela so that he doesn't have to give up his role.
Yeah, I do wonder, again, question for the baseball fans. Do you think a pitcher with no outs or a hitter with no hits is worse? I think a pitcher with no outs is probably worse because
Probably.
they really, there's other hitters, right? If you have a pitcher with
Right.
no outs, you're never getting any outs. But
Right.
if
You're
you're a
just
hitter with
like
no
giving them a
hits,
million opportunities to win.
yeah. So I think Leela's going to be worse here.
Yes, I agree. And an interesting choice to be like, I am gonna have the worst player of all time coach me. But
Yeah,
anyway,
good
so
point.
he says, keep your eye off the ball. And she's like, oh, you mean on the ball? He's like, which one of us is in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he wears Bender as a helmet. Nice for
Yes.
Bender.
Gets beaned.
Yeah.
But yeah, Leela is starting to see some improvement. For once, she's pitching, not just belly itching.
Did
Gentle
you ever
felony.
do, maybe this is maybe not a Canada thing, and then also sadly not a young girls sport. Did you ever do any sort of T-ball Little League
I didn't do
situation?
T-ball, but I did do a like five pitch or whatever, like kids baseball,
Sure.
where you can get five strikes instead of three.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember it vividly, and this is a classic, of course you did, story for me, but I was standing there playing on first base or something, and I was like, I think I was eight at the time. So at the height of Mark McGwire's career, I was also having the height of my career, and I was standing there, and some kid hit the ball, and I caught it, and I was like, she's out. And they were like, no, we
Wow.
don't really do that here.
What?
And I was so outraged because I was like, but I
Yeah.
caught it. I caught like a
The
fly
rules of the
ball.
game. What are we
The
doing
rules
here?
of the game dictate that she is now out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And so, yeah, did your love for baseball just diminish that day when the rules of the game were not adhered to?
I mean, I was just very indignant and was like, are we playing baseball or some
Yeah.
sucker sport here? What's going on?
Yeah.
I only played that one season, and then after that, I signed up for soccer instead.
Yeah. I also played some like little league. I don't really have any actual memories of it, but my dad tells me, and I probably played for like a couple of years, and my dad tells me, and it was when I was like very, very little, I would guess what, 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever. And my dad would tell me how like between seasons they would be like, I think this kid is like probably a lefty because of just how terrible he was. Like I think I went like a lot of seasons back and forth, like maybe he's a lefty, maybe he's a righty. We like can't quite figure out what's going on. We know he's bad. He's not playing well,
But maybe
but
he's better on the other side.
yeah.
He's not playing well. We can say that.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Oh, that's great. A couple of athletes really getting into this
Yeah.
learn small
And I mean,
episode.
I am a lefty, so that season when I was throwing righty was probably very bad. And,
You are a
they,
lefty? I
yeah.
didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Big lefty pride. All of us lefties love each other. You're not a
Wow.
lefty, are you?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
Sometimes
still not good on either side.
Give off lefty energy. I don't know if I do, but sometimes I
I
can
would say you
like,
don't.
yeah.
You don't have like an artsy job or something. I feel like I associate that with, I mean, we do this. Very
We do
creative
this
endeavor.
creative, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, look at us
Yeah.
learning new things about each other.
After all this time.
After all this time. All right. Okay. So we briefly touch back on this stupid bike race pizza thing, and they have opened a franchise at Fenway Park, and it gets sold to Fishy Joe for $100,000, which seems to be very, very cheap.
Yes, they are close. It's the last game of the season. It says the announcer says we're closing a season that will rank among mankind's most awful crime.
Yes. And yeah, there are live hornets in the dough. That's what makes it so fizzy.
Yeah, great, great. I feel like I want to commend that joke because fizzy is like the perfect additive to for a funny joke about like what would make pizza gross if it's
It would make it
fizzy.
horrible. Yeah,
Yeah.
like you just think about that and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, well, I want to buy it. Yeah. So yeah, so Leela is trying to get the coach to put her in. She's like, this is my last chance to prove I'm not the worst player ever. And the coach is like, we're winning right now. You only go on when we're way behind or when the other players go home early to beat traffic.
Sneak out early to beat traffic, yeah.
Yeah, he says, I want to see some fundamentals, not clown fundamentals. And that's when we get that very good moment of the clown throwing a pie instead of the ball.
Yeah, I do love that clown on the team. It gets a few moments to shine.
Yes, very good. It made me want to do the clown horn thing, but I think I've already played
Oh, come on, do
that
it.
out
Can you do a you're so good with these sound effects. Can you do a mourning dove cooing?
I don't know if I can. You think I would be able to because I've been listening to it nonstop all
Yeah.
week, but it's like, okay, I have to think about it, get it in
You
my
can
head.
practice it over the week and you can
Yes,
come to next
yes.
podcast ready.
I'll come prepared next week. Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. I want to bring my A game to this.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
I like
Yeah.
that Leela says, like, oh, I've been training with Hank Aaron. And he says, you've been training with, like,
The Hank
baseball great
Aaron.
Hank Aaron. Yeah, he says, I've been training with a Hank Aaron.
Yes, very good. I like that a lot too. And the infosphere has a weird note here where it says Leela's unconventional pitching manages to strike out two players before Jackie comes in, but that is simply not true.
It just doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen. They bring her out, she gets two strikes on Jackie, but they don't, she doesn't strike any people out. They just have two outs.
Did you watch on DVD? I wonder if this is like edited Hulu, Disney Plus kind of stuff.
Yeah, I watched it on Disney.
All right. Well, anyone with the DVDs out there,
I mean, I
throw
could watch
either.
it.
I mean, Lindsay could do it, but Lindsay's got a lot to do. She has to
I'm
edit it. She
busy.
has to. She has to edit Gunsmoke and Mourning Dove cooing together.
Exactly. It's very important. Oh, God. All right. So, anyway, the point is Jackie Anderson shows up. And also, I noted that there appears to be a Jackie Anderson like copy in the audience, like
Oh,
in the
wow.
crowd.
A
And I took a
goof.
picture. Yes, I took a picture for your benefit
Yeah, let's
because,
see it.
okay, hold on, because you can't do a screenshot on Disney Plus.
There
So I took a photo of my screen.
she is. Wow.
Yes. So.
Yeah. Like maybe it sticks out because like only person of color in
Yes. True.
the
And dressed just
crowd.
exactly the same.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So that's weird.
That Disney Plus screenshot thing is like wild technology. I mean, it like makes a lot of sense, but kind of crazy that they implemented that and that it's like kind of hard to get around.
It is. Yes. I can just take a photo of the screen.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, so when she comes out, Leela gets two strikes on Jackie. She's now officially in the major leagues. And then she gets a grand slam blurn and the ball goes into the win the game hole.
Yeah, like giant target with like neon lights pointing at it. I liked earlier in the scene there is the announcer says that the game is brought to you by Monthel and Franks, the hot dogs with experience.
I didn't hear that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as Jackie wins, it's all very exciting, but also it reveals that Leela is the worst player ever, and being a bum knows no gender.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad that they closed out the episode with Jackie saying that Leela was an inspiration. She's so awful that women everywhere had to set out to prove that they don't stink. Which was kind of like telegraphed that they're going in this direction, especially when it's Jackie versus Leela. But yeah, a nice end to the episode.
Yes, and they say like it's the, you know, she's the worst player ever, but also it's the beginning of a great career for the first woman to play the sport well. So,
Yeah, and Hank Aaron is notably replaced at the Hall of Fame with like a cardboard cutout of Leela.
yes. So he lost his job. So devastating
Yeah,
for him.
yeah.
All right. So, who won this episode, Alex?
Who won this episode? I mean, I guess the Boston Poindexters literally won the last game.
True. Also, the Cygnoids got $100,000.
Cygnoids did okay. Yeah.
Key
Yeah. Yeah.
Anderson made
That
it to the
I mean,
majors.
Cygnoids, yeah, small scale Cygnoids sold their franchise and got a lot of money. Large scale, all of these baseball teams that are beating the Mets.
Yeah. So that's
Nobody
good.
died that I can think
Nobody
of.
died. Yeah. I
So
guess maybe the like players on the Swedish meatball team who all got concussions.
yeah, that's fair. Yeah, everyone that gets beaned,
Yeah.
the New York Mets fans.
Yes. New York Mets definitely the losers for sure. So, okay. Next week's episode, Alex, is called The 30% Iron Chef.
Okay, Bender becomes a chef. Works at what's who's our favorite chef? What's his name? Elzar works with Elzar. I would say Bender goes and works with Elzar. I feel like we might have already seen that episode, but all these Elzar episodes blend together. But that'll be my guess.
Yes, I can't wait to read you the description of this. I'm definitely going to forget, but the little synopsis is very funny. So,
Okay,
yeah.
excellent.
Okay, great. What else? How can people get in touch with us?
Podoftomorrow@gmail.com, @podoftomorrow on Twitter. One of our, let's see, I think it is, let me make sure I get his name right. That's just a big list of bots that are following us and notifications. Yes, good old Fernando,
Ah,
our
yes.
most dedicated Twitter user of the year, Fernando, keeps shouting us
Indeed.
out on Twitter. So thank you for the thank you for putting the show out there on Twitter. Maybe somebody has found it through Fernando's, but also bots continue to find it through Fernando. So
Yeah, no giant spikes in downloads over the last couple of weeks, unfortunately. So keep promoting and
rate and
you
review.
can, yes, rate and review.
Tell your friends to listen.
You can hear more from me over on BoJack Horsepod. We apparently, the first 10 episodes were no longer appearing in people's feeds, but I have corrected that and they are
Oh no.
back. So if you want to start from the beginning, you're welcome to do
We're
so.
back,
We have
baby.
just, yes, we're back and we have just finished talking about Toucan Birdie. So yeah, go check all
Nice.
that out over there.
Excellent.
And yeah, we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.